Perhaps you're familiar with a phrase, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. That's right from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, because apparently during the time of Isaiah, people, they heard, but they never understood. They saw, but they were not perceiving. You see, that phrase is telling us already of a disease that happened before the time of Jesus. It happened during the time of Jesus, and it was also predominantly seen after the time of Jesus, and even our time today. And let me give you the name of that disease. I call it spiritual blindness. Now, if you were to Google that, because that's what we do these days, you're going to find a lot of articles about what spiritual blindness is. But really, in a nutshell, it's really not seeing God when He's doing work. Like, you're blind to whatever God is doing. And usually, spiritual blindness, you see it more in people who do not believe in Jesus. You're like, why is it that they don't believe when there's evidence? Spiritual blindness. You see, that can affect anybody. That epidemic can affect on church or church people. None of us is exempt from that disease that we call spiritual blindness. Jesus called out a church in Asia Minor, a church named Laodicea, and that church, they thought they were doing so well, and finally Jesus had to write a letter and says, you think you see, but you're blind. You think you are clothed, but you're naked. I mean, that's the word of Jesus right to a church that they thought they got all the things, all the ducks in the row. They thought that they had it all together. Jesus said, you don't get it, do you? And he says, you need to buy from me because you need to deal with that blindness that you have. I mean, this case of, there's a lot of cases reported throughout history in churches of this that we call spiritual blindness. And it's interesting because when I go through scripture, I realize that Jesus dealt a lot with religious people, and apparently they do have that disease more than people that do not know God. You find that more in like religious people. Jesus called the religious people of his day blind guides. In other words, like you're a blind leading the blind, eventually they're all going to fall, they're all going to fail. And Jesus called them that. All because they failed to recognize who he truly was. They were blind. They did not know who Jesus was. They failed to see God at work in their midst. And you know, even today, us in communities, in our own homes, perhaps we fail to see God at work. We fail to see God displaying his majesty among us. And when we fail to see that, then we might be affected by that disease that we call spiritual blindness. Now, one of the things that I find today in 10 o'clock, we were going through the Gospel of John, and we were looking at chapter 9. That's the text that I'm going to use for the sermon today. Because it's interesting that when we talk about spiritual blindness, you see that case more severe in the story in John chapter 9, because there Jesus healed a man that was literally blind. He was born blind. He was already a man, and Jesus healed him. And then you see the blindness of the Pharisees. You see the blindness of the religious leaders right after he healed somebody who was born blind. If you got your Bibles with you, chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, that's where we're going to spend some time there, because I see how severe the disease was for the religious people in Jesus' day. Jesus walking alongside with his disciples, and they see a man that used to sit down to beg, and he was born blind. And the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, who sinned? He or his parents that he was born blind? Neither, Jesus said. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put on the man's eyes. It's interesting. Jesus did so many different miracles, and we were talking about that today. I don't think that you find two miracles identical. Like, sometimes he just told people, you heal, and they were healed. Sometimes he touched the lepers, because you would not touch lepers in those days. There was a guy who told Jesus one time, just say the word. Don't come to my house. Just say the word, and it will be done. Jesus said, wow, you got great faith. And here, for whatever reason, don't ask me, because I don't know, why he just decided to spit on the ground, made some saliva, put the mud that he made with the saliva in the man's eyes, told the guy, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. That pool, Siloam means saint. He told the blind man to do that. He went, he washed. After he washed, he came back and he was able to see. Amazing. That's the miracle, that he just healed somebody. He was born blind. He was already a man. Now, the neighbors that recognized the man that used to sit down and beg, they came to, they were like, is that really the man? Some people say, no, he looks like him. And then the man himself says, I'm the man. I am he. And then people ask him, well, what happened? How is it that you can see now? The man would say, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go wash. I did, and I came back seeing. Where is Jesus? I don't know. So that's the whole thing. I'm just giving you the scenario. I mean, you read it for yourself in chapter 9. So people were amazed. They didn't know what to do because they knew that man was blind. And now, for some reason, he can see. We talked about the power of testimony because the man said, I am the one. I know my situation. I was blind, but now I see. Now, later on in verse 13, according to the Gospel of John, they take the man to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the word Pharisees means the righteous ones. Pharisees even dressed up differently than everybody else because they thought that by your clothes you look holier than everybody else. Does this sound familiar? Perhaps in our society we have people like that. They think that by the clothes you're wearing, you display holiness. Pharisees, they were supposed to teach the people about God. They were the religious people. Also, there was another branch called the scribes. Scribes, they would copy the law. And so the Pharisees, they had issues with Jesus. Because Jesus would just condemn in the practices. So they bring the man to the Pharisees to examine. The Pharisees, priests back in those days, they were like the doctors and nurses. If there was a leper that got healed, a leper, not the animal, but somebody who had leprosy, if they got healed, they would bring it to the priest, and the priest would tell that person whether he can go into the house, into the family, or he had to be excommunicated for 7 weeks. Priests would do that. So Pharisees were more religious people in those days. So they bring the man that was blind to the Pharisees so that they can inspect and examine the healing. So they now, John, let me just read that part, verse 13, because something happens here. And you're going to see already the spiritual blindness. I struggle with this text when I see things like that happening. And you're going to see why. Verse 13 says, chapter 9, 13, John, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, this is key right here. The day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him, how he had received his sight. And the man said, he put mud in my eyes, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. You know where we're going now? I mean, I just don't get it. The man just got healed. His life's going to be changing drastically, and all you care about that it was done in the Sabbath. Newsflash, that's religion for you right there. That man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Now, yes, the Sabbath, you know that law that God gave the people, you do not work on the Sabbath? Apparently, healing somebody in the Sabbath, that will be categorized work. And we talked about Mark Gonger has a great book entitled The Battle Over the Rules. And he says like this, for instance, if the law said, do not let your kids go into the street, that's the law. Let's pretend the law said, do not let your kids play in the street. People will come along and say, you know what, if we let my kids play in the yard, they might be tempted to go into the street. So let's not let them play in the yard either. And people will say, well, if we let them play in the room, they open the window and see the yard. Therefore, they're going to be tempted to go into the yard and then go into the street. So let's not let the kids play in the room either. Oh, let's put them in the basement because there they will be dark, they will not see the room, they will not be tempted to go into the yard, and they will not be tempted to go into the street. You see where we're going with this? The law said the street, not the yard, not the room, not the basement. So when it came to the Sabbath, it was something like that. The Sabbath was work. You know, we all have a day off you should at least. We all have a day off from our work. So when God gave the law, the Sabbath was, you should work 6 days, but on the Sabbath, it's a day of rest. Let your animal rest, let your employees rest, everybody should have a day of rest. So then the Pharisees and people came along and said, hold on, if I comb my hair on the Sabbath, is that work? I always wonder, maybe they never brush their teeth on the Sabbath, because that's working too. Jesus told them one time, you don't get it. The Sabbath was made for you, not you for the Sabbath. And they created so many different laws that they could not keep. Oh, maybe if I walk too many steps, is that work? That wasn't even the point. So Jesus, many of the miracles when you see that he did, that he performed, he did it on the Sabbath, trying to teach people. He said to them, it is always right to do good on the Sabbath. Don't you think that's something good? To restore sight to a man who was born blind? And that's why I don't get it. Why aren't you praising God that the man now has a life? No, oh, but whoever did that, he was on the Sabbath. He's a sinner. And they're questioning the man. I mean, check it out, the whole interaction that's going on there. They had a problem with that healing because it was done in the Sabbath. Spiritual blindness, my friends, fail to see God at work. God is doing some work, and all they see, oh, he violated our rule, our rules, our customs, our practices, our traditions. Therefore, he must not be from God. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, some of the other Pharisees, how can a sinner do such a miraculous signs? So they were divided. You see, they had a dilemma. Okay, if you violate the Sabbath, that makes you a sinner. But then, how can a sinner do a miracle? They didn't know what to do with what's going on right here, with Jesus performing a miracle on the Sabbath. And the whole council of the Pharisees was divided. Now, they asked the man. Finally, they turn again to the blind man that wasn't blind now. He says, what have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been born blind. So they called the man's parents to questioning them. You see what's going on with this? This again, like I just don't get it. Somebody just get healed. Somebody, his life is going to be drastically changed for the better. And now they don't even believe the miracle is real because they say, well, let's call his parents to make sure that we got this case right here. Make sure that truly he was born blind. And the man already told them, I was blind and now I see. But they don't believe that. Because spiritual blindness failed to see God working in your own midst. God can do something right there. They're talking to the Son of God and they still don't see him. Why? Because you got something in your eyes that I call spiritual blindness. You feel God at work. God's doing some amazing things and you don't see it. Why? Because perhaps you're suffering from that epidemic that we call spiritual blindness. These people did. The Son of God talking to them and they did not even realize it was God in their midst working. This man, they called the parents, hey, is that truly your son? Yes, he's our son. And yes, he was born blind. Now, how he see now, we don't know. Ask him. He's already a man. That's what the parents told them. And then they bring the man again a second time. And the man just got angry because you're asking me the same question. I'm giving you the same answer. Perhaps you expect me to lie and change my response. But I'm not going to do that. Look at what happens here. A second time, verse 24, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know, I was blind, and now I see. Whatever you have, issue you have with Jesus, just talk to him. I don't know. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't care. One thing I know, he says, I was blind, and now I see. And then they asked him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Verse 27, he answered, I have told you already, and you did not believe me. Why do you want to hear that again? Do you want to become his disciples too? And now they got furious. Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly man who does his will. No one has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they reply, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they kicked him out of the synagogue. All because apparently they want him to lie about the healing. You see, the problem that I have is like somebody's life is drastically changed. This man was born blind, and now you're questioning him about how the healing took place, the method that went in the healing, who did it, violation of this. I mean, religion for you. Forgetting or failing to see God work in this man's life. Literally, they kicked him out of the synagogue. So they were skeptical about the healing. I mean, the Pharisees, verse 22, they already decided that Jesus wasn't the Son of God. They already did not believe in Jesus. And they already, by chapter 9, you see that they were looking for ways to eliminate Jesus out of the picture. I mean, how blind can you be that you still do not recognize Jesus is the Son of God? When look at the healing that he's doing, performing miracles after miracles. When you read chapter 7, there were people that said this in chapter 7 of the same book. If he's not the Messiah, when the Messiah comes, will he do more miracles than him? Because he's already doing a whole lot of miracles around here. So they already recognized that he was someone special, that he must have been the Messiah. The Pharisees did not believe that he was. And if you were part of the synagogue, they would kick you out of their church if you said that Jesus was the Messiah. So this man, because he's saying, hey, I don't care if he's a sinner, but I was blind, now I see, he gets kicked out of the synagogue. See, spiritual blind people cannot see God in their midst. They cannot see God's works, God's deeds. You see, the Pharisees wanted to be right about Jesus. They wanted to be right saying, yes, that's true, he's a sinner. They wanted to be right because to them, Jesus violated their laws. They were blinded by their own laws. They were blinded by their own traditions and rituals. I mean, a man was born blind. He's healed. And they care more about how the healing took place. You see, they place more emphasis on this, on their customs and traditions than on human lives. A lot of people do that. Sometimes they care more about their religion than people. Jesus, and one of the things that you learn quickly about Jesus, when he saw the people, he had compassion on them because they look harassed and perplexed like sheep without a shepherd. He cared about people. And I think if you want to follow Jesus, you should be doing the same. And these people, they care more about rules that they made, not God's rule we're talking about. Man-made rules. You know, it's like, for instance, a church that would care more about that we cannot move the pulpit from here. If I move it there, I get fired. First of all, they were not pulpits in those days. But you know, sometimes they care more about that rule because they're so used to seeing that over there. The day you move it, all hell breaks loose in the church. And you know, so people had issues with Jesus because he healed the man. And to me, it's like somebody's life is changed for the better. They care more about their religion than human life. That's when you do that, when you come to that point, you're literally blind spiritually. Like the religious leaders were. Instead of praising God for the marvelous healing, they bring the man to question him over and over again. And they even bring his parents. And they're mad because he's praising God and say, yes, Jesus did it. He's a prophet. They don't want to believe that. See, that's the problem with spiritual blindness. God is doing amazing things all around you, but you fail to see them. They were blinded by their selfishness. They were blinded by the expectations they had about Jesus because in their expectations, Jesus was not the Messiah because he just violated our laws. They were blinded by their own traditions and rules that they created. Now, the man gets kicked out of the synagogue. Jesus found the man later on. When you keep on reading verse 34, Jesus they throw him out of the synagogue. When Jesus found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Jesus asked him. The man said, who is he, sir? So that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. You see, this man now is worshiping the Lord. He believed in Jesus as the Son of Man. The Son of Man is a messianic title for the Messiah. I believe in the Messiah, he's saying. Then Jesus said this statement, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Now, the Pharisees were offended. You know, that's another thing you find about Jesus and the Pharisee. They were offended a lot by Jesus, you know, because Jesus, he's not playing the political correctness that we have in our society today. He doesn't care you're going to be offended by something he says. If he's going to tell the truth, he's going to say the truth. You know, sometimes, you know, people get offended. I mean, I might preach sermon that people are going to get offended, but, you know, I'm not going to change my sermons. You know what I mean? So they get offended by Jesus because he said, for judgment I have come into. They understood exactly what Jesus was saying. Look at what happens in verse 40. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what are we blind to? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you see, your guilt remains. Since you claim that you can see and truly you're blind, that's why you're guilty. They were the people, the Pharisees were the people that supposedly were to teach the community, to bring people closer to God because they knew the law and they were blinded spiritually. And that's what Jesus said, for judgment I came. I came to the world to bring sight to the blind. And those who think they can see, they're going to just be blinded. For judgment I came into the world. And that's why the Pharisees did not like that phrase. And said, what, are we blind too? Well, yes, you are, he told them. Spiritual blindness, it's a severe thing when people, I mean, you see that, especially religious people, they do not see God at work in their midst, in their own lives, in the lives of those around them. I mean, how blind can you be when Jesus shows up and you don't even think that he's the Son of God? If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. The problem is that you think you can see, but truly, in reality, you're blind. They failed to see God at work in their midst because they were blinded by their expectations about Jesus. They were blinded by their selfishness. They were blinded by their own laws and traditions. That happens a lot all across America and in many different churches where church people also get blinded by things that they create, man-made rules that we make. And meanwhile, we fail to see God's ultimate purpose and goal. You see, for them, for the Pharisees, the laws and tradition were more important than human being. For them, those traditions were more important than our lives being transformed and changed. I mean, that's how you realize there's a problem here. When somebody's life will be changed forever and you're still lingering about the Sabbath law that you yourself created. They were blinded to the truth of Jesus because they were offended by what he said. Because what Jesus said will go against everything that they did in practice. Now, I see that a lot, even all across. I've been part of churches that at times I've been blinded. You know, I mean, I belonged to a church one time that we thought we knew better than everybody else. And, you know, when you have that attitude, you don't have room to grow anymore. I mean, you knew everything you needed to know, right? And so it's almost like God can change that attitude in us, that spiritual blindness that we have. Sometimes you hear people say things like that. And this is the symptoms of spiritual blindness. When people say this, Christmas is not Christmas without lights or without gifts. Newsflash, you're blind. If you think Christmas is all about the lights and decorations, you miss the whole point. I thought it was about the birth of a Savior. You know, but sometimes people, oh, Christmas is not Christmas until... I had to get on my mother-in-law one time because she said this. You had to have pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving. And I said, who says that you have to have pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving? Apparently, Thanksgiving is not Thanksgiving without pumpkin pie. And I'm thinking like, I could not believe that she said that. But you know, we do that all the time in churches. You know, like, you have, no, you, that's just things that we, you know, we like. I mean, I want to say don't celebrate it, but don't just linger into that. For her, you see, she was blinded by the pies. You take the pies, I'm going to be miserable because that's what, to me, the pie is the foundation of Thanksgiving. You see, that's spiritual blindness right there. But how often do we do that about Christmas, about Easter, and all the things that we think that's really what it is, and we don't see the God's picture working in our midst? There was at a church too that they play more emphasis in the bylaws. Now, bylaws are important because that's how you govern the body. But they were neglecting the word of God because, well, our bylaw says that maybe women should not. And it's like, so you're going by what your own documentation says rather than what the word of God says. Now you're spiritual blinded. You're blind. And so, you see, you need to have those things documented for legality purposes, but not to govern the body of the church. This is what governs the church. And sometimes, you know, we get blind. I mean, I was part of a church like that too. And later on, thank God that he opened our eyes so we can say, you know, there's something wrong here. I mean, we're caring more about this document than we care about the Bible. Now we're spiritual blind. And sometimes we act like that. So the Pharisees did not get it. So many times we don't get it too in our own lives, in our own society. All across our globe, we got churches. I mean, sometimes when you think about churches have split because over music, oh, we shouldn't have guitars in our congregation. I was at a church that we almost split because we decided to change the color of the carpet. And people was like, oh my. Well, people communicated that we're going to do some cosmetic changes. Somebody came and said, like, that's not cosmetic. You're changing the whole thing. And boy, I mean, we had to do a lot of talking and things because for people, the church had to have that. Or like some of you used to believe the church has to have pews, right? Spiritual blindness. We all been there, right? Now we smile because we can see it. But remember, it's like, no, who says they had to have pews? Oh, how about this one? They had to have stained glass window, right? You know, it's like we made those things. Like the moment you take, they break or something, you cannot replace them. It's like the church will still continue. You see, but we place so much emphasis and we forget about us. This is what Jesus really cares about, that we are growing, that we're doing things. I mean, yes, we have to maintain the building, but that's not just it. That's just something that this is our house. I was at a church, you know, one time somebody came here too. This is another part, another symptom of spiritual blindness. You know, you have to have the cross behind. I mean, most churches are built with a cross. We had it at a church that I was a member, and then you push a button in the back, and that screen would just, will go up and down. People didn't like because it made noise during the communion time. But people say, you know, we want to see the cross when we take communion. And I'm thinking, like, if you come to a point that you cannot focus to think about what you're doing, that you have to have a cross over there, visually a cross, you have more problems than what I thought. Because I thought, I mean, you know, Paul says, let's meditate on what we're doing. No, they needed a cross, so you had to move the screen so they can see the cross. And, you know, it's almost like, wow, like, how blind can we be sometimes? That we think that's all there is, that we need to have those things. Oh, the preacher has to have tie when he preaches because, you know, we're not going to listen to him. You know, all those are symptoms of spiritual blindness, like something else deeper that you need God, Jesus to come and work in you. We all been there. I'm a living testimony. I was blind, but now I see a lot of things because I was born in legality and, you know, like, oh, you know, Christians don't even play cards or go to a bar. I mean, I was born like that. And, you know, it's almost like, wow, you know, and thank God that God liberated me. He freed me from those rules that, you know, it's like Jesus went all over the place to change people's life. And we don't want to hang out with the people, you know. It's like we're still blind in some areas. You know, the cure for spiritual blindness is letting Jesus come. Just like he healed a man born blind, he can heal my spiritual blindness. He can heal whatever it is you're going through right now so that we can see God clearly, so that we can see him clearly when he's moving around us. Because can you imagine Jesus showed up to your church and you did not even know he visited? I mean, there's a church in the first century. They literally kicked Jesus out of their fellowship. And somebody wrote a book, I don't know that Jesus visited churches in America, how many of those churches he would stay. Because many of those, they would say, Jesus, thank you very much. We don't need you. Bye-bye. And I thought churches was all about Jesus. I mean, I don't want to do anything else if he's not going to be around. You know, we shouldn't worship, sing songs. We should not even preach if it's not going to be about him. Because that's what, you know what I mean? Everything else we do becomes religion if it's not the foundation. That's why Peter said to a whole bunch of people, salvation is found only in one. Because there's no other name given to men by whom we must be saved. And Jesus, he said, he's the stone you builders rejected, but he has become the cornerstone. And salvation is only found in him. And that's my philosophy. That's my belief. It got to be all about him. If I'm going to start doing things on my own, then I should not be doing it. But you know, how many people sometimes, how many places and churches, they just do things according to their own, and they neglect Jesus. That's spiritual blindness at its best right there, like the Pharisees. Now, can you imagine God himself working in your midst, and you don't see him because you are blinded by something else? What is keeping you from seeing Jesus at work in your own life, in your own family, in your own community? What is keeping you from seeing him moving? Whatever it is, ask him to come. I mean, he just put mud on a man who was blind. He can do amazing things if you let him. Through the power of the Spirit, he can change us and mold us to be more like him. And to see him whenever we go, like, there's a potential. He's working. He's moving here. He's working there. I mean, you get to see his work clearly. I think when we're spiritual blind, we put God into a box. And I always say, people, you and I cannot build a big enough box to put God in. Because the moment you get God into a box, the box becomes bigger than God. That's why science cannot explain God. None of us can truly explain. We know something about God because he decided to tell us. I mean, that's what you think science can explain God. Science then will be greater than God. And science was created by God. You and I cannot build a big enough things to put God. He doesn't operate just the way you want him. Because, he can do, I mean, that's what the Pharisees were thinking. Oh, no, he had to operate within the parameters of the Sabbath. Just said, you don't get it, do you? They were blinded. So what's keeping you? He can open your eyes so that you and I can see him clearly. Now, in Matthew, I want to conclude with this phrase. In Matthew 13:14-16, Jesus said this. Here's the phrase again. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. It's almost like you're hearing a lot. You're hearing. That's another spiritual deafness. You're hearing a lot, but you're not really understanding anything. You know, it's like when somebody said, you're not listening to me. Yeah, you hear, but you're not listening. So they be ever hearing, but never understanding. They be ever seeing. You see a lot, but you don't perceive what it is you're seeing. That's what we talk about spiritual blindness. He said, For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, Jesus said, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. And then he said to the disciples, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I hope that that be our prayer for us today, that blessed are your eyes because you see when God's moving in your own lives, in your own midst. You recognize that. You have here to hear what he's saying to us daily. Every time we open this thing, he's talking to us. In the Bible, there's a phrase that says, whoever has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches in Revelation. Like, people a lot of times we just hear, and the Bible says, don't just hear, but do what you hear. Put in practice what you're hearing. So, blessed are you that you have eyes to see what he's doing. God is doing an amazing thing in our midst, in your midst. Make sure that nothing will block that vision. And if something is blocking you from seeing him, ask him, and he will remove it. I'm a living testimony of many things that I needed to remove from my vision. Even though I was born in a preacher's household, but there were a lot of things that we were just like, we were just like the Pharisees. I think if the Pharisees were here today, we would be part of their parties. We were part of their thing because we were just doing. And then Jesus was like, I mean, changing us and molding us and seeing people, valuing people the way he wants us to value them and seeing people through Jesus' eyes. That's the best. Loving people the way Jesus loves and serving them. That's when our blindfold is taken off and we realize, I see God doing it and he's going to use me to help somebody. Let me be willing to do it. So whatever it is that's blocking our vision from seeing God at work, ask him and he will eliminate that. He will heal you just like he healed that man. And that man at the end, what did he do? He worshiped Jesus. You and I are going to be worshiping him in a ways that you never thought possibly, because how he's going to be working in us and curing us from that spiritual blindness that happens all the time in our society today.